You spend years researching a book. It wins acclaim and awards when it's published, so much so that it helps generate new information that you'd wish you'd been able to include in the book. But the good news for Jill and her magnum opus on Rita Angus is that she's now been able to bring out a revised edition. Jill Trevelyan won the Non-Fiction Award at the Montana New Zealand Book Awards in 2009 for her biography of one of New Zealand's leading 20th century artists. A lot's happened since then. The discovery of some Angus sketches and a planned major exhibition of the artist's work in London cancelled then because of the COVID-19. The revised edition of Rita Angus, an Artist's Life, is out ahead of an exhibition of her work later in the year at Te Papa in Wellington. I asked Jill why she's so keen to revisit the biography.
Well, there are always stories that come out, I suppose, you know, after a book. People send you letters and they ring you up and you think, oh, I wish I could have just, you know, had that little anecdote for the book. And then Bill Angus, who is Rita's nephew, he found a suitcase with some little sketches. And, you know, these were just amazing sketches. They were actually preliminary sketches for Rutu. So, you know, that was the story I would have loved to have had for the biography. But by reissuing the bio now and being able to write an epilogue, you know, we're able to capture those stories. So,
has any of this information shifted your thoughts on her?
No, I suppose it sort of reinforces, you know, the things that you already knew, but they're just nice little stories that you would like to, you know, be able to share with people. And I think these new sketches that we've illustrated in the bio, you know, they sort of cast extra light on Rutu. So it's very good to be able to, you know, include those.
Well, it's very visual. We hopefully will have some of the images on our webpage, Jill. But can you talk us through, I mean, are these, when you say preliminary, are they very sketchy? I mean, she's such a beautiful, detailed painter, or do they progress?
There's a very fine pencil drawing that she made, and she actually mentioned it in a letter. So as soon as I saw this drawing, I knew, you know, exactly what it was because of the little inscription. It was, you know, one of the first drawings that she'd made for Rutu, you know, several years before she actually did the paintings. So,
several years?
Yeah.
Gosh, it really sat with her, didn't it?
She really worked, you know, she'd work on paintings for a long time and revisit them. And she was notorious, you know, people would actually buy a picture and then she would say, oh, look, I must have that back. And she would just, you know, want to do a little bit more. She was never quite happy.
Oh, being a perfectionist.
That's right. Yeah, I'll just keep working on that.
Jill, let's talk about the Royal Academy exhibition and why it was so significant.
Well, it was this wonderful opportunity for Rita. In 2018, we heard that the Royal Academy wanted to feature Rita, you know, in a solo exhibition. And, I mean, there's never been a single New Zealand artist featured in a Royal Academy exhibition. And, I mean, I think the artists of Rita's generation, they just don't get these opportunities. I mean, our contemporary artists, say, you know, they're exhibiting all around the world. But for someone like Rita, she's really unknown beyond New Zealand. You know, there'd be a little bit of knowledge about her in Australia. The National Gallery of Australia owns one painting. But this was really the chance, you know, to sort of put her on the map among her, you know, her contemporaries in terms of pioneering modernist women artists. And, I mean, we were so far advanced with the planning for this exhibition. When COVID hit in March 2020 and everything sort of closed down, we had the complete layout for the exhibition at the Royal Academy. We had the exhibition catalogue all ready to go, you know, essays written and so on. And, of course, with the lockdowns that ensued and just continued, I mean, the situation in Britain was terrible, eventually the Royal Academy made a decision to cancel the exhibition. So, you know, Rita's wonderful moment of glory, yeah, wasn't to be. Just one of those things, really. But I think there are some positive signs, I think, in terms of, you know, getting Rita better known overseas. There's a book that's just come out by a writer called Jennifer Higgy about female self-portraiture from the 16th century. And Rita is featured in there, and Rutu is, you know, illustrated in colour in there. So, I mean, things like this are very important, very influential in helping people, you know, come to know our artists. So, yeah, Rita sadly didn't get her exhibition at the Royal Academy, but she will be getting her exhibition at Te Papa.
Having researched her for such a long time, was it hard to let her go?
Well, Well, I think you get to the end of a project, you know, and there is always a sense of relief. But this, I mean, it was amazing to have the chance to revisit the work. And, of course, when we were working on the Royal Academy exhibition, I had the chance to sort of travel around the country and reconnect with people and reconnect with the paintings. We travelled around the country with the Royal Academy curator, Adrian Locke.
And when was that?
This was in May 2019. We did a sort of a road trip. And really to have the chance to actually see the paintings again, you know, because so much of the time as a biographer, you're working with reproductions, with pictures. So any time you get the chance to reconnect with the real thing, it's really special.
She's never really left you, has she? Because there was, I know only a couple of years ago, but still I get the sense that when you have invested so much of yourself, you keep an eye out, you keep an ear out. And Jill, as you were saying, people were coming to you with information. When did Bill come across the sketches, the suitcase?
He contacted me shortly after the bio went to press about the suitcase with these. Oh, you might be interested. Well, actually, yes, Bill. I would have liked to have known about this.
So for Bill, I mean, this being, you know, his whānau, he must be delighted to see the fuller story in here.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, he's always been a great, you know, supporter of my work and, you know, just wants the best for his auntie, you know, in terms of her opportunities to, you know, have that work exhibited and books, publications and so on. Yes, definitely.
So you've got an epilogue here. Is that the main change, or have you gone through, because you're a bit of a perfectionist still too, I think, gone through each chapter, and if you've found out little facts or figures or changes, you've added them in? How big a revision is it?
No, well, I didn't really feel there was a need to rework material in the bio proper. It was more just bringing the story up to date, I suppose. I mean, after the bio came out, Gaylene Preston's film, Dave Armstrong did the play, Douglas and Rita. And there were various sort of things. People had done PhD theses and so on. And I just wanted to sort of incorporate that, I suppose, various artistic responses. People like Glenn Hayward, who had that wonderful series of sculptures outside Te Papa as part of the Four Plinths project. So I just wanted to sort of talk about those sorts of things. I think, you know, we did that exhibition back in 2008, Rita Angus, Life and Vision. And I think, you know, a lot of people sort of discovered Rita Angus through that exhibition. And it was wonderful really seeing the way people responded. I mean, there's a poem that I've included that was written, you know, in response to that exhibition and so on.
That must have been really interesting for you, the response to it. People who might have discovered Rita or certainly found out more about her, the woman behind the art, that are such icons.
I think that's the thing. I mean, I think people really respond very directly to her paintings. They're very immediate. They're very appealing. But finding about the story about that person, that very unusual person, that very dedicated, driven person, behind the paintings. The thing about Rita, I suppose, is that her art and her life are so interconnected, and that's really what I wanted to draw out, you know, in the biography, to show that through the narrative. So I think, you know, reading about the Rita and her life can shed a lot of light, you know, on those paintings.
And yet still, as you say, people are studying her, people are still writing about her. I find that quite intimidating, given this is such a thorough biography, but students are still honing in, I guess, on very specific aspects of her life. Was it interesting for you
Definitely.
To read this thesis?
And I think, you know, an artist like Rita Angus will always be reinterpreted. You know, each generation that comes along will sort of have their own Rita Angus and have their own particular slant, you know, on her paintings and so on. And that's fantastic. I mean, I think it's great that, you know, there's a new wave of scholarship and research and so on. It's terrific.
I do get a sense that, you know, how it is that some art ages well and some does not age well. It's a bit like television programs and books. It's the way of it. But there is something so modern about Rita's work that I imagine does still resonate with younger people.
And I think she really speaks to, you know, a younger generation too in her kind of her attitude, you know, do exactly what you will. Don't let anyone deflect you from your purpose. Follow your instincts. Yeah, don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Do you talk to artists who feel influenced by her now?
Very much so. I think she's been a real sort of model, a model of integrity and a model of sort of dedication. I think, you know, to be an artist in those times, you know, there was no arts infrastructure, no dealer galleries, no arts council grants, no artist residencies. So you had to be very, very focused, very, very determined. You really had to have a sense of mission. And she, you know, she certainly had that. She was had that sense of purpose.
Do you think there may still be more suitcases of sketches or diaries? I mean, do you feel that there could still be some work out there?
Well, you just never know. I mean, I think when you're working in this area, you feel that, you know, there might be always be another surprise around the corner. You just never know.
What are you working on at the moment, Jill? Can I ask what have you
had? I'm working on a book on Robin White. Te Papa's doing an exhibition next year, so I'm working with a curator from Te Papa, Nina Tonga, and a curator from Auckland Art Gallery, Sarah Farrow. We're working together on this project, a book and an exhibition, so that's been a fabulous project.
You have the advantage of being able to talk to the artists?
Well, I've been, you know, working with Robin for more than 10 years now, really, I suppose. You know, going on trips with her, staying with her, you know, talking, lots of conversations, so the projects have come out of all that. It's been wonderful. And, you know, she is, it's lovely working on a subject who's so much, you know, involved in work and involved in new work all the time. You can ask them questions.
Yeah, that's right. You don't
have
to
speculate so much, that's right.
You do have that sense of responsibility, though. I guess you do for an artist living or dead, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you're committing to a biography.
Oh, definitely. You know, you want to get the story as good as it can be, as truthful as it can be, as resonant as it can be. You feel a real sense of responsibility to the artist, I think, yeah.
I was just thinking, actually, there are some parallels, I think, with Dame Robin, and that they're both trailblazers, you know, and I get the sense of being fearless. And again, there are, I mean, Robin's now been painting for so many decades, but it's still so fresh and original and full of life.
Yeah, she's a risk taker, Robin. You know, she'll always be trying something new, learning something new. That's really inspiring. And, of course, Rita Angus was a very pivotal figure for her, you know, as a student in Auckland, going along to the Auckland Art Gallery, seeing Rita's portrait of Betty Curnow. You know, a woman artist, being part of New Zealand's art history. She talks about Rita Angus, you know, as a pivotal figure in her own development. So there's a lovely connection there.
Did you have to persuade Robin?
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
She knows you and she trusts you, but it's still big, isn't it?
Oh, when I first started talking to Robin about a book, you know, I said, oh, you know, she's just so much immersed in her current work, you know. The first thing she said to me is, well, I wouldn't want it to be a coffee table book, you know, it'd have to be useful. So this idea of, you know, a book that's useful has very much sort of guided our thinking. You know, she doesn't just want a pretty coffee table book, but something that has a bit more substance, I suppose.
So as you write it, will you show Robin what's written? How involved
definitely.
Is she in it? Yeah?
And in fact, I always do that with my projects, whether it's working with the family like Peter McCleavy's family. You know, it's a matter of going over material with you, and it's very valuable because new stories will come out, you know. And, I mean, the project with Robin is very much a collaboration with my two co-curators, and we've also invited a lot of other writers to write shorter pieces too. So we really want to have that kind of richness of input from, you know, different perspectives. Because Robin's had such a diverse career, you know, working with so many, collaborating with, you know, so many of her friends from Fiji and from Tonga and so on. So it's a lot of material to cover.
The revised edition of Rita Angus, An Artist's Life by Jill Trevelyan, is published by Te Papa Press.